Good morning, good evening, whichever it would be, and greetings in the wonderful name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Each knows by now that we've canceled our services here at Marbleton until April the 5th, and we have canceled meeting together, but we've not canceled serving the Lord. And as we trust the Lord together and serve Him together, I encourage you this evening to continue to study and pray and trust God more than ever that we have ever, and probably more so. We need to trust Him and depend upon Him. And this pandemic has caught us by surprise and thrown our world in a whirlwind, so to speak. And but you know, it didn't catch God by surprise, and it didn't catch the Lord off guard, and He knew all about it. And want to share something with you here that I feel like the Lord had laid on my heart. And I've got a few other things to say, but I'll give you a few minutes if you want to be turning to Joshua chapter 3 in your Bible. And turn with me, and we're going to read and hear a little bit about Joshua when the children of Israel was getting ready to cross over into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. And as we see here and we think about these things, I'm thinking about this virus that's been going around, and of course the coronavirus, and as I looked and we thought, and some friends I was talking to yesterday had mentioned that about 100 years they had been some things happening in 1720, but in a year or two between 18 and 20, there was the bubonic plague in Europe, and 100,000 people died in that time. And in the 1820, around that time, was the first cholera pandemic, and around 100,000 died at that time. And then in 1920, I think it actually started in 1918, the Spanish flu, H1N1 flu, 500 million people were infected around the world, and 100 million died with it. And here we are, 2020, and we're surprised, and we've been hit with this, with a plague, so to speak, or this virus. And as we look here, before we go any further, I want us to pray together. If you would pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy and grace. And Lord, that I'm so thankful to be able to call upon you today. I'm thankful, Lord, that I'm able to come and stand behind this sacred pulpit one more time. And Father, I just as no time any different than any other service. There's not folks in the pews, but Lord, that I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would lead and guide us, and that you'd encourage our hearts. And Father, that you'd minister to us and minister to our folks that's going and listening by the way of the computer or their phones today. And Lord, I pray for your blessings to be upon each one. I pray for the sick and afflicted. And Lord, I pray for our folks that need your touch. And I pray that you protect us from this horrible virus. And Lord, that you'd build a hedge of protection around us. And Father, we pray for all of the emergency workers, and we thank you for them. And pray you'll protect all the doctors and the folks that's involved, and the nurses and everyone. And Lord, we just ask you to be with them and give wisdom and guidance. And we pray, Lord, for a cure or a vaccine, ever how you see fit to work. And God, we just trust you with this. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to bless our leaders, touch them, and Lord, just lead and guide us and help us in this service. Encourage us today. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. This passage here, there's a verse that jumped out at me, and it's down at verse number 4, and it says, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, and about 2,000 cubits by measure, and come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And I want to preach on the thought that we've not passed this way before. And this is far different from us. And as we're going into this, and it was far different for the people of Israel. And as they were going, I want to read several verses, and then we will get into the message. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, and about 2,000 cubits of measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water, Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, whereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will not without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed over before you. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up on a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bear the ark, were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth of his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zarethan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over. The people had in the past had experienced the trouble, problems and things in here. In this story of Israel, we see that as they were in the wilderness, they was 40 years, and a lot of things come about. And then I'd read about the pandemics and the diseases in the past, and a lot of folks have experienced diseases in the past, but not us. This day and time, we're not used to anything like this. I've had several people say to me, I've never seen anything like this before. We really don't know what we're dealing with. And Israel had been through a lot before, but they were now going in uncharted waters. They were going into, the promised land, but they had a big river to cross. They was going to be a lot of battles to fight. They were going to go up against some fierce people and people that had lived in this land for a long time. And so we see that it was different than anything that they had ever done. And for us in America today, we're in a different situation than we've been in our lifetimes. And as we're thinking about this, the spies had brought word to Joshua, and he had sent two spies to Jericho, and they came in verse 24 of chapter 2, and it said, and they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered our hands in all the land, for even the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And as we see that they had brought back a good report. And now that they were breaking from the camp here, and they were about 8 miles from the Jordan River. And as we look here, that they're getting ready to go in and cross the Jordan River over in to the Promised Land. Of course, Moses had passed away and was off the scene. Now Joshua, and we had read that God said he was going to establish Joshua, and everybody would know that he was with him just like he was with Moses. I'm glad today that God is still with us. I'm glad that he's still on our side. Well, boy, I'm glad today that I can stand and tell you on the confirmation of the Word of God and through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that I feel just now that God is saying, I'm still with America. I've still got your best interest in mind. We're still a nation that claims him. We're still a nation that has his name on our money. He is in our pledge, and we trust him in America, and he has been good to us. He has blessed America in a special way. And I'm so thankful for that today. And as we look and as we think here of Joshua, I want to hit on two or three things that Joshua has done and is doing in his time. And here in the first, I see that Joshua prepares for the next chapter. The children of Israel, the chapter in the wilderness was getting ready to close. They would not be living in the wilderness anymore. Just a little bit of time after they get over in the Promised Land, the manna ceases, and they start eating the corn of the land. And so that we see it's a new chapter. It's a different world that they're going into. They won't have to move their tents around in the wilderness and go around anymore. They're getting ready to go in and seize their property. They're getting ready to get an inheritance and lands give to them, and they're going to go in and conquer this land. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad today that we can claim in the name of Jesus Christ, we can claim victories, we can claim over the battles that we're in, even the one we're now, that God is still in control, and I'm trusting him just like I always have. I'm trusting him just like I did when the stock market was almost 30,000. I'm trusting him just like when everything looked real good, and he's still in charge. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for that? And we look and think he rose up early in the morning. As he got up, and I believe there's several other places in the scriptures that talks about Joshua getting up early in the morning. There's something about getting up and getting busy. There's something about being on fire for the Lord. It was settled in him. He didn't have any reservations. The Lord had told him that he was going to prosper. The Lord had told him and had promised him, and he trusted the Lord, and he got up early. And glory, hallelujah. And he was ready to go whatever the Lord had in store for him. See, Joshua didn't have to invent a method. And the thing here I see in this, that he had to just trust in God's plan. God had the plan. Joshua didn't have to come up with the plan. Boy, aren't you glad of that? That he didn't have to worry about, think about, and concoct and come up with a lot of stuff. God had the plan. All he had to do was be obedient. All he had to do was trust God and depend upon his almighty hand. They had seen him work before. He had seen him part the Red Sea. He had seen so many miracles that God had moved, and the plagues in Egypt and the water and the manna and the things. And if God had told him, and he was going to part the Jordan, he didn't hesitate a minute. Aren't you glad of that today? Do we have that kind of faith that we'll trust God even if it looks rough, even if things ain't going good, that we still know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is in control? He didn't have to come up with the plan. God already had it. But Joshua had to, first thing, trust in his plan. He had to trust God's plan. The children of Israel, as Joshua was preparing them for the next chapter, they had to trust God just like they had all the other times and depend upon him. And in our busy, hectic, nerve-wracking, unsettled future, we don't have to worry about a plan. Boy, I'm thankful for that this morning. I said we don't have to worry about a plan. And that God's already got it. And all we have to do is get in line with his plan. And trust his plan. See, he's got it. It was written out before the world was ever formed, before the foundations of the world, that God already had a plan for my life. God had a plan for your life. God had a plan for the United States of America. God had a plan for Marlton Free Will Baptist Church. Boy, glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that this morning? And as we're thinking and here talking about God's plan, we can trust him and follow him. In verse 3, the Bible here says that when you see, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. When you see the ark of God, when you see the ark of the covenant moving, and then the Bible says, move and go after it. Praise the Lord. When we see God moving in situations and we trust him, it's up to us to go after him and keep our eyes on the ark. They were commanded to stay within sight of the ark, not fall back, not get too close, run up on it, but stay back enough and keep it in view. I tell you, we got to keep the Lord in view. We got to keep his plan in view. We got to keep our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in view. We got to keep the gospel and keep it going and share and spread and win as many people to the Lord as we can. The Bible said go after it. But not only was Joshua teaching to trust the plan, he was trusting in God's presence. See, the Bible says here, you have never been here before. Couldn't you imagine how apprehensive the children of Israel was as they were facing the river flood in flood stage? They were getting ready, and as I said earlier, they were getting ready to fight like they've never had to fight before. There were so many things, how apprehensive they was. But Joshua was assuring them, and God was assuring him that my presence is with you. The Ark of the Covenant is with you. And keep your eye upon me and keep your depend upon me and don't get out ahead of me. He said, if you notice in this passage, that they were to stay behind him. They were not to get out in front of him. I'm afraid sometimes we, especially as Free Will Baptists, we want to get out in front of him. We want to lead him and show him where we need to go. But he said, you stay behind me and keep your eyes on me and don't let me get out of distance of you. I'm telling you, I'm afraid that some of us folks has got where we've took our eyes off of him and we've let him get out too far away and we've lost our vision of him and we've lost our desire to follow him, our desire to be in his presence, our desire to serve him, and we've let him get out of sight. Boy, I tell you this morning, or this evening, whoever, when you're listening, this would be a good time. If you've let God slip away and you've eased off and you've backed off and you're not where you used to be, this would be a good day to nail it down. This would be a good day to call, say, Lord, will you help me? You may have never called upon his name. This would be a good day to say, Lord, will you forgive me of my sins that come into my heart? Will you save me and make me a new creature and a different person? You can trust his presence. You can trust his plan, and you can trust his presence. When we follow his leadership, his word and will, we'll arrive safely. He will take us through and meet our needs. The second thing, not only did I see that Joshua was preparing for the next chapter. He's preparing them for cleansing in verse 5. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The wilderness is behind them, and the promised land, or the holy land, is before them. They're getting ready to cross over. God said, sanctify yourselves. Be clean, be holy. And they had to be clean. See, you can't go. God's not going to bless sin. And if you keep reading a little bit, you'll see they conquer Jericho, but then they fall at Ai. And they fall at Ai because they got sin in the camp. And they didn't have it nailed down when they went to Ai. And just a little town made them run, and several of the folks died. But as we look here and as we see here, God said, before you do this great work that I've got for you, I want you to be clean. I want you to be sanctified. I want you, every part about you, to be as I would have you to be. And this morning that I want to ask you, sanctification comes, the initial sanctification comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will clean you up. You can't clean up enough to go to heaven. You can't clean up enough to be a Christian. But the Holy Spirit of God, that's the blood of Jesus Christ, will cleanse your sins. And the Holy Spirit will sanctify you, will lift you up and build you. And you'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But they had to separate themselves in the book of Exodus chapter 19. And God was getting ready to come down and meet with the people and come down from Sinai. And he had told them here that they were to sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. Then at the verse 15 of that, it says, and said to the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. He said, you be sexually pure. You be ceremonially pure. You be pure in your thoughts. You be pure everything about you in your ways. And that's the same way with us today. Have you noticed in these two passages, both of them here in Exodus 19, God was getting ready to come down. He gave them 3 days. The children of Israel here, God had given them 3 days. It was 3 days from verse 1 to when they would cross. And so we're thinking, God wants us to be sanctified. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, the Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Having these promises, you go back to chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, and these promises, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And this cleansing, self-cleansing, good living, won't take you to heaven. Only repentance and asking Jesus into your heart and forgive you of the sins, that shed blood that Jesus gave on Mount Calvary will save you. That's all that'll take you to heaven. Preacher Tim, preaching to you this morning, won't take you to heaven. Trusting Jesus will take you to heaven. But once you have asked Jesus into your heart, God blesses godly living. God blesses clean living. In fact, he commands it. We're to live clean and separate and cleanse ourselves. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this and we think about being holy and pure and separated from the things of the world, you know, in this time and this turmoil, it would be easy. See, what happens so often is when we get into crisis and we get into problems and we get into situations, we run from God instead of to God. And we'll go away and we'll draw back and we might allow some things to slip in. We may go back and pick up some of the old habits that we used to have. We might get involved in some of the things that we had not been involved in. We might get into some speech that we might not. We might get into hatred. We might get into finger pointing. We might get into some things. But God said, even in the midst of the trouble, even in this trial, the children of Israel were to be pure. They were to be sanctified. They were to be the people of God, not just carried away with every wind of doctrine and not involved. God will not bless that. He only blesses when we are true to His name and we're true to His word and will. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we serve a God like we do today? And the third thing, Joshua is preparing for a new chapter, the next chapter. Joshua was preparing for cleansing. As we see here in verse 5, he's preparing for the crossing. Joshua said to people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Praise the Lord. You know, when God allows a crisis, you can believe He's going to do wonders. You can believe He's going to work some supernatural things. And what I see, I've got five things I'm going to hit on here pretty quick. The first is, watch His wonders. Joshua was saying, watch His wonders. Watch what He's getting ready to do. Glory to hell. You ain't never seen nothing like this before. This is different. Most of the ones that probably come across the Red Sea is dead and gone. These folks had not seen water separated and parted. They had not seen the rivers roll back. He said, boy, glory, hallelujah. Just get ready. You're getting ready to see something wonderful. You're getting ready to see God work. You're getting ready to see. And guess what? When God starts working and you notice it, then when we get in and we have to get in battle, we can look back and say, well, God parted the Jordan. I think He can take care of this problem. Amen. Oh, okay. It's okay to amen mean you're sitting there at home. Don't make me get my handkerchief out. I told Rhonda that people wouldn't know what if I had my handkerchief out waving. Believe He will do wonders. In verse 9, we see to hear the words. We've seen the first one, watch His wonders. And then in verse 9, to hear the words. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God. And that he's telling them to come and hear His words. When you see what He's doing, then His words will mean more to you. And when God, when somebody honors the word, I've so often that if I go out and do a job and someone, I'll call them and I'll tell them that I'm on my way to come and look at the job, or I'd be there Tuesday or I'd be there sometime. And then so often I'm told, and at the end of the job, lots of times they're in amazement because I've done exactly what I told them I was going to do. And this day and time, that's a rarity. Joshua was saying, you know, hear God's word, and what that's going to do is encourage your faith. That's going to build you up, because we're going to find out that you can trust God. You're going to find out that He'll do what He said He'll do. I'm glad today that this word is inerrant, infallible, and it's truthful from cover to cover. I believe every part of it. I thank God that it is the written word of God. It is God's word spoken through the prophets and through the men of God that the Holy Spirit moved upon and they wrote it down. It's not a fiction book. It's not a fairy tale. It's not someone's imagination and something someone come up with. The God of the universe has said, let there be light, and have formed the earth and separated the waters and did all of these great miracles, has also this is His word to us as human beings. This is our roadmap. This is what it is that we are to hear by and follow all the days of our life. He told them to watch His wonders, hear His word. Then in verse 13, He said to act in faith. And it shall come as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. I don't know about you. I believe I'd rather been back in the pack instead of the one that had to step off into the water. It was a flood. The waters was in flood stage. But they had to have faith and exercise faith. And he said, you know, we're going to trust God. We're trusting His Word, and we're going to trust His wonders. We know that what He can do. But you, priest, when you step off, the waters are part. Boy, what an act of faith. And if you like me, when I was growing up, I was scared to death of water. I've still got a lot of respect for it. And it's an act of faith when you step into it. Elijah, and when the widow came, he came and he said, "Make me a cake." And she said, "Well, I'm out. I'm just making me and my son the last one. We're going to die." He said, "Make me one first. If you'll make me one first, then you'll not run out till the rain comes. Your God will supply. Your oil will stay, your crew's oil. You'll always have oil. You'll always have meal." And I think maybe the first day or two, that little widow walked over and she looked down that barrel. And she'd say, "Well, there's a little bit in there." Then the next day she walked back and she looked down that barrel and she said, "Yep, there's a little bit in there. It's enough to get us through the day." Then the third day, I think she looked and she said, "Boy, there's enough oil. Make us three more cakes of bread." And then I think about the fourth or fifth day, she quit looking. Woo, glory, hallelujah. She quit looking in the barrel. She just started trusting God. She'd run her cup down in there and expecting beyond a shadow of a doubt that she was going to draw meal out of it. She was going to draw the oil out because the man of God had said, "God will bless you and God will take care of you and God will meet your needs." Aren't you glad of that this morning? Can you say amen with me? Praise the Lord. He said, act in faith and move along in faith. And the next one I see goes back to verse 4. And he had told to move and go after the ark and to stay within 2 cubits of it, 2,000 cubits, and not come near. He was saying, keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant is where the mercy seat was. That's forgiveness of sins. That's a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we see, He told the children, keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. Don't lose sight of it, and God will carry you through. Have faith in Him. Trust God. And keep your eyes on Jesus. This morning, the best advice I can give you is keep your eyes on Jesus. It don't matter what the stock market says. It don't matter these other things you might say, "Preacher, you're downplaying this." No, I'm not. It's horrible. But I trust Jesus. He's far greater than anything else. If He could speak His world into existence, I think He can take care of us as humans up on it as long as we live. See, Hebrews 13:5, the latter part of that verse, it says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In Joshua 1:5, see, the Lord had already told Joshua 2, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Woo, glory. What a powerful statement that come from God. Nobody will ever stand before you. "And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Glory, hallelujah. I think that encouragement got Joshua through. That's why he was able to lead this children of Israel. If you turn over to about, I think it's chapter 24 in the book of Joshua, there's a verse that says, Israel followed the Lord all the days that Joshua lived. We come out of Joshua into the book of Judges. You don't go far into the book of Judges that you see that people turned away from God and started doing things their own way. But Israel followed Joshua all the days. Or Israel followed God all the days of Joshua's life. Wow. What a statement. The fifth one is that God gets the credit. Give him the credit. It would have been easy for Joshua to take a credit. It would have been easy for Moses to take a credit. Now, if you remember that the second time there that they were going to bring water out of the rock, God told Moses, speak to the rock. Moses hit it with the rod twice and said, must we? And I think he maybe he's patting himself on the back a little bit. He got a little angry and was exalting himself. He didn't get to go to the promised land because of that. But give God the credit. It's here in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4, if you turn right over there, another page probably, that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. These stones shall be for a memorial and to the children of Israel forever. He's saying that you be sure God gets the credit. He commanded 12 men to pick 12 stones up out of the middle of the river. And when they got over to the other side, they set up a memorial. And he said, you tell your children, you tell your children's children, you be sure everybody knows, well, these stones means God delivered us. God stood in the middle of the water, and God was with us and protected us, and the water separated and went miles upstream, and downstream there wasn't any water. Folks knew all around that God was working. I believe that the folks in Canaan land said, they're up to it again. It's dry down below where they are, and it's backed up all the way to Zarephath, and something's happening. I don't know what's going on, but that God of the Israelites is at it again. Praise the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad that we can say, as Christians, people can see God working in their lives and say, boy, I don't know what's going on, but God's in the control of that situation. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Give God the credit. The stones is for the next generation. But also, if you look at verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest, which bear the ark of the covenant, stood, they are there to this day. You know, he said, I want the future generations to see this. But boy, I want you to remember. Glory, hallelujah. I want you to remember. You know where the stones is placed. You know about it. And when the rivers go down and them stones stick up out of the water and you come back around, you can say, boy, right there's where God intervened. Right there's where God came on the scene. Right there's where God stood in the middle of the river. Well, glory, hallelujah. And delivered us again like he had been and always has. Praise his holy name. Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad this morning or this evening for the mercies of God and his blessings that we don't deserve? Glory be to his precious and holy name. See, we can trust him today. Even though we've never been this way before. And us in our lives, just like the children of Israel, a lot of them had experienced things in the past, but they've gone off the scene. A lot of folks in America have experienced around the world some stuff. They're gone off the scene. This is our first trip, our first round. But God's still on the throne. God's still in charge. And I'm so glad that I can tell you today, by the authority of God's word, that he'll take care of you. And we are to trust him. We've never been this way before. But glory, hallelujah, we won't have to go alone. We've got the God of the universe. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, hung on a cross so we could be saved. He rose up a third day for our justification. And guess what? He's coming back to get us. If it gets too bad, he'll come and get us. Praise his holy name. Let's pray again. Father, we come to you again. And Lord, I'm thankful for your mercy. I'm thankful for your grace. I'm thankful for your help, Lord, to help me with this message. And it's different. Folks not in the pews, but it's the same Spirit. I felt the same freedom. I felt the same power of God upon me. Lord, I thank you for that. I don't take that for granted. And Father, I pray that each one that's listening will be listening to this. Father, that you'd encourage everybody. Lord, you'd lift each one up. And God, you'd help them and encourage their hearts. Lord, that there's a lot of folks, there may be some that'll be listening to this that's never asked you into their heart. Never called upon you. Never asked you to forgive them of their sins. Lord, I pray this may be today. Lord, where they say, God, forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart and make me different and change me, where heaven will be my home. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I thank you, God, for each one. I pray you'd touch everyone that hears this, whatever their needs may be, wherever they are with you. Help each of us to grow closer to you and trust you more, and we'll run to you instead of away from you. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, I thank you for Marbleton Free Will Baptist Church. Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We will be, you will be hearing more from us. We will be given more instructions over the call multiplier, and I will be putting, it's my plans to have a devotion of some sort for Wednesday evening, and we'll let you know more about that through the call multiplier. And next Sunday we expect to have a message for you. But I love you. I miss you. I wish that we were together, but we will be soon. Keep trusting the Lord. We love you and thank you. God bless.